Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I think we can maybe do a little bit better than that. Good afternoon, everybody. That's more like it. I've got you at the after-lunch low, so we've got to keep the energy high for this one. My name's Andrew Conway. I work at Microsoft in product marketing for enterprise mobility. We have today the Empower Enterprise Mobility Foundation session. As the name suggests, this is a foundation for the rest of the enterprise mobility sessions at Ignite that will drill in even deeper. So we're super excited to have you here with 23,000 of your peers. And with that, we'll go ahead and get started. So I want to start by overviewing some of the changes that we're seeing, some of the trends that we're seeing in the industry as we think about people being mobile and as we think about clouds. Now, in previous talks on this topic, we've spent a lot of time talking about the exponential growth in devices, the number of different devices that everyone has that they're using. Judging by the audience right now, you're using them right now. And some research suggests that in affluent markets, people are using as many as 5 to 7 different devices to get their work done. And so what this means is that in many cases now, you've got people working on devices that are also personal devices. They're doing personal things, work things. And in IT, you are challenged with keeping those contexts separate. So while you're enabling people to be productive on the devices that they love and get work done, you're also doing the right thing to protect your organizations from data loss. Now, we talk a lot about devices. That's a very well-reported trend, and who doesn't like getting new devices? But what we're seeing is that this trend's really compounded by a shift in applications and application backends moving to the cloud. And it's also compounded by a huge growth in SaaS. Now, if you're out in the audience and you're working in IT, you know that there's probably departmental spend that's happening in your organization around software as a service applications. But one of the surprising things that we've found is that employees are also bringing in SaaS. So not even in the construct of a department, but just individuals are virally adopting software as a service applications, most oftentimes personal file sharing services, cloud storage services, et cetera. And so you're at risk of information flowing into those stores. And many of the traditional approaches that you would have been using to secure your environment in the old days, where you could reliably associate one individual with one machine that was wired to the wall, you might have been looking at network traffic or whatever it was. And in this new paradigm where I'm working on many different mobile devices, my information's traversing the public internet to cloud stores, and you may have a lot less visibility into what's going on. And of course, this is happening now against a backdrop of some pretty well-publicized cyber attacks. And some 75% of these network intrusions are basically driven by some sort of attack on your end user's identity, some sort of phishing attack, or someone who's found their way onto your network through a set of credentials. They're probably off lurking, elevating privileges, and then they're often stealing things on your network. And again, some of our data here shows that on average, attackers can lurk on a company's network for somewhere around 8 to 9 months. Think about that, 8 to 9 months before someone's even detected. And so that's just a quick tour of the backdrop for what we're talking about today in enterprise mobility. What I want to do next is sort of drill in here and spend a little bit more time on what we think is driving this change. Many of you may be using Configuration Manager today to manage your PCs on premises. And 3 years ago, when we shipped Configuration Manager 2012, we repivoted that product, our landmark PC management product that's on about 70% of enterprise desktops. We repivoted that to a user-centric paradigm, user-centric or people-centric that we said at the time. And what we did there was we shifted away from a primary pivot being about devices. Now, obviously, we did that because when you're in a realm where end users are using, like I said, 5, 7, whatever it is, different devices for work, you have to manage at the pivot point of the user. And the user's identity in Active Directory as a sort of primary store on-premise becomes super, super important, and we'll have more on that later. I've also spoken to a lot of customers who've deployed traditional MDM solutions to handle this growth in devices, and now they're caught asking themselves, why did I do that? What is the real utility that I'm getting from an MDM solution today? Sure, I get inventory of devices, inventory of software, I can manage some settings, but am I really protecting at the level that counts? That's why we've seen the conversation now move on into applications. And if you think about applications, oftentimes, especially for a knowledge worker device for BYO, it really starts with getting going with corporate email, right? You get that new device. The first thing that you probably want to do if you're using it for work is get access to your email, and then you want to expand beyond that and start operating on files, right? You want to start editing documents, viewing Excel spreadsheets, whatever it is. And so the applications piece now is a critical part. And like I said, for knowledge workers, for BYO, it often begins with productivity. It begins with Office. And then as we generalize that now with this growth in SaaS applications, it becomes increasingly important to manage the full range of applications and access to those applications and to protect your data in the frame of those applications, both the initial access control and then also how you manage content within the application. And then finally, at the level of the data itself. So as soon as one of your employees emails that piece of data, emails that file, they copy-paste something, the information's off and running. And you don't have a good way to protect that information then at the frame of the device or at the frame of the app. And so this idea of protecting at the level of the data itself becomes increasingly important and critical. Now, you're doing this for your employees today, certainly if you think of this idea of BYO. But increasingly, this is also about bringing to bear these capabilities for business partners, where you're working in these new relationships. You need to establish a trust relationship between a partner, either over a long period of time or for a particular project. And so you need a good way of managing this new world of work, not just for your own employees, but also for partners, and then, of course, into your own customer base. And I think it goes without saying at a show with 23,000 IT pros, but IT is really charged with making all of this work. And so just a quick tour of some of the things that we've been seeing in terms of what's driving the changes here. And with that, I want to drill in and spend more time on Microsoft's Enterprise Mobility solution in particular, and some of the things that maybe make it different than the other solutions that you've been familiar with. The first thing is that it's keyed off identity at the core. As people access from many different devices, a common identity system at scale across on-premises and cloud is super important. Secondly, as you might expect, for us, productivity is all about Office. Office is central to our solution. Office 365 is central to our solution. And as you saw in the keynotes today, the Office mobile applications across iOS, Android, and the coming Windows 10 are really at the center of what we do. Thirdly, you really want to future-proof your investment, right? You might be buying solutions today, on-premises solutions perhaps, where you're being asked to add new capabilities to take on new devices, new operating systems, new apps. You want to go with a solution that's comprehensive and end-to-end. And then finally, as we move to the cloud, there are many things that we can do on the back of a cloud architecture while still taking advantage of your existing on-premise investments, both in infrastructure and in skills, that are really central to the Microsoft solution. I'll drill in one level deeper here. I'll start again with identity. And identity really becomes this control plane now in the cloud for you to manage authentication, gate access to applications, and also get a rich set of security reporting against that cloud directory store that helps you keep your organization safe. Microsoft Azure Active Directory is a huge investment for us across tens of different data centers worldwide. We have almost 5 million organizations in Azure Active Directory, somewhere around 450 million user accounts. So we really are running a commercial directory at cloud scale every single day. And on those days, we're doing between 1 and 2 billion authentications against that directory. And so this is a central investment. And as you set up a tenant in Azure Active Directory, maybe you're an Office 365 customer, you already have one, you start to see utility from using that cloud as a control point for your IT. At a very basic level, you're getting single sign-on, not just to first-party applications from Microsoft, of course, but also to custom apps that you might write on Azure, and also to software-as-a-service applications that we've pre-integrated into the directory. And finally, there are basic but oh-so-important self-service capabilities that are available against the cloud that just save you money in IT. I've been surprised at the number of customers who have adopted Azure Active Directory just for these reasons. Things like self-service group management, self-service password change and reset. Basic capabilities done well, exposed to your employees that reduce help desk calls. So that's identity. Office. Office is a key piece of what we're doing here in Office 365 and the Office mobile applications. It's no accident that we announced Enterprise Mobility Suite a year ago at the very same event where we announced Office on the iPad. The Office mobile apps are key to what we're doing across all platforms. And what we found from people in organizations is that their employees don't want to use proprietary email clients or proprietary Word editors, PowerPoint editors, whatever it is. They want to use the real deal Office. And so the Office mobile apps are really central to what we do. And finally, protecting at the level of the data itself. You saw in the keynote this morning Azure Rights Management, the ability to switch on protecting at the file level without having to do complex deployments on premises like managing your own public key infrastructure. And in our cloud, we also have support for capabilities here like bring your own key, where you can bring your own key for that encryption solution to the Azure data center. As we think about making the solution comprehensive, I want to just be super clear with people that we're crossing not just Windows, but also iOS and Android, and that it's not just about first-party cloud applications running on Azure AD. It's about the thousands of SaaS apps that you're adopting every single day, and maybe some of those SaaS apps that you don't even have visibility into yet. In Brad's keynote this morning, he showed cloud app discovery in general availability today for our Azure AD customers. One of the interesting things about that particular capability is when we talk to customers, pretty systematically, they underestimate the number of SaaS applications in their environment by about a factor of 10. And so they're surprised by the amount of SaaS that's being adopted in their org that they haven't been able to get a handle on. And Azure AD is one way to bring that under control. But it's not just SaaS applications. We've also seen people starting to use that cloud control plane for line of business apps. If you have an on-premises hosted web application today that you're publishing to the internet, you can now route these applications up through the Azure AD cloud using the application proxy feature, so you can bring those apps under control as well. And many of you have legacy Windows applications that are probably not going to be rewritten for a mobile paradigm. So you're probably not going to have developers write a mobile front end for that, or you're not going to natively write that, the back end of that application against the cloud. In this case, we shipped a service back in December called an Azure Remote App. If you're familiar with terminal services, session host, remote app, it's really those sorts of capabilities brought to the Azure cloud with the ability to remote into your applications using the RDP protocol. And then finally, of course, we just want to make this so that it just works. There's so much utility in using a cloud solution here. These devices are always connected to the cloud, very rarely connected to your corporate network. And so one of the things that we can do from the cloud is make sure that those cloud services that manage them are always up to date. I was talking to a customer recently using a traditional MDM product, and they were being told that they needed to add a new server for every new 800 devices that they got. Think about that for a minute. 800 devices, and they were adding a new server. That's incredible in this day and age. When you're purchasing a cloud service, we're taking care of that scale on the back end, but we're also making sure that it works with what you have. And so Active Directory clearly is central to our solution. Some 95% of you are using Active Directory on premises as the de facto standard for corporate identity. And then Configuration Manager as well. Since the 2012 release of Configuration Manager, we've deeply integrated Intune into Configuration Manager. And so if you're a Configuration Manager customer, it's very easy to switch on an Intune subscription in ConfigMan. It just shows up as another site server in your environment, manage.microsoft.com. And then you can manage all of your devices in one place. All of the data comes down into the SQL stores that sit under Configuration Manager on premises. So this idea of cloud, but also taking advantage of the hybrid and the skills that you have existent in your organization today and the infrastructure investments. And of course, we want it to be simple to set up, to connect, and get going. And for those of you who've adopted Office 365, you've already taken that first step of setting up an Azure AD tenant. And so with that, I want to shift gears a little bit, move into the middle section of the presentation, and spend some more time on demo. We have people who are going to come up and take you through some scenarios, customer scenarios, across all the different services. In the past, we may have focused just within identity and access management, just within MDM, or just within data protection. But today, we're going to show you things that cross those different capabilities. And we're going to start, as you might expect at the beginning, with getting started, and just take you through a few simple steps to get up and running. We'll start with establishing that common identity, moving from on-premises, making the choices about what pieces of your Active Directory today you wish to extend to the cloud with Azure Active Directory. And like I said, if you're an Office 365 customer, you've already done that. It's very easy to add on the Enterprise Mobility Suite services on top. Next step is we'll show how easy it is to switch on Intune on top of that core directory asset, inherit those groups and users into the solution, and do some basic things to get up and running with managing the device lifecycle. And then finally, we'll show you how easy it is to switch on protection at the level of the data itself with Azure Rights Management Services and begin protecting the information that you share in the file itself. And then today, as you noted, we also put in a new capability on Azure Rights Management Services called Document Tracking. That's in public preview today. And so with that, I'd like to invite up Adam Bresson on the team, and he's going to take you through a short demo of how you can get set up here and how you can get running quickly. Thank you, Adam.
Great. Thank you very much, Andrew. I appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and get started and take a look at Azure Active Directory and connecting it to Active Directory. It's just a couple steps to get started. So you have common on-premise today, you have Active Directory. And you might be familiar with users and groups as well with Active Directory. We want to extend and share that identity between Active Directory and Azure Active Directory. The tool to do that is Azure Active Directory Connect. Part of it is Azure Active Directory Sync Services. So I'll show you in just a few steps how you can get started. It's only four steps with the Express settings, and you can go ahead and get started with Azure Active Directory Connect. The first step is to connect your Azure AD tenant. As Andrew mentioned before, you have an Azure AD tenant if you have Office 365 today. So let's get started doing more with Application Identity and Access Management and Single Sign-On. Second step is to connect your Active Directory. Once I've connected my Active Directory, I can go ahead and uniquely identify my users. Often that's through matching usernames, but you can also do additional customized settings here for matching your users. We have some additional features, such as password write back, and we have important scenarios like hybrid exchange as well. And that's it. In four easy steps, I can share my identity from Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. Once I've shared my identities, I click Synchronize Now. It will synchronize my identities from on-premise to Azure AD. Let's take a look at where those identities show up in Azure AD. I can go inside my Contoso Hybrid and Contoso Build, and I can see identities that are local, Active Directory accounts, as well as Azure AD accounts. I can also include Microsoft accounts with this. So all of my identity, that common identity, is in one place. Let's take a look at one of my tenants, Contoso Cloud, and we'll take a look at the different attributes for your users. I can see here, for Chris Paul, I have those same synchronized settings and attributes from Active Directory to Azure AD. I'm going to go ahead and show you what else you can do with identity as well. Let me take a quick moment We'll go back and look at some other settings. So I mentioned, if you're familiar with Active Directory, you can use users and groups. With Azure AD, as we mentioned before, it can extend out into applications for identity and access management and single sign-on. The great part about that is you can do even more once you have that common identity in the cloud with Azure Active Directory. We're going to go ahead and look at how you can secure and manage devices and applications with Intune. I've brought my groups over from Active Directory to Azure AD. I brought my users over from Active Directory to Azure AD. Now I can easily secure and manage my devices with Intune, another service from the Enterprise Mobility Suite. You can see here I have some of the same groups that I imported from Azure AD, designers, legal department. I can quickly move into configuration policies, and I can create very easily a baseline security policy with just a couple clicks. There, I've created a policy to secure my mobile devices with a good security baseline of recommended settings. I also have mobile application management policies here. I pre-built some of them that you see here. It's cross-platform, and that's it. That through line of Azure AD users and groups helps me manage applications and devices as well. And then, as Andrew mentioned before, we have Azure Rights Management. It lets you encrypt and provide policy for your data and your files, and it's easy to turn on. You simply go to Rights Management, activate Rights Management, and now you have the ability to encrypt your documents and your files and apply policy to those documents as well. You can see that Azure Rights Management integrates with all the Enterprise Mobility Suite services. I create templates. They're auto-discovered by the devices out there as well. I can even import my templates from Active Directory Rights Management with the Migration Toolkit. For a particular template, I now have the new preview feature of Scope, which lets me take those same AD groups I use, like designers, and use them to limit the scope or expand the scope of templates with Azure Rights Management. I can also configure from Rights Management document expiration, localization, and other settings for each template. So in just a couple steps, we shared identity from Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. We use that identity, the users and groups, to turn on device and app security and management, and we've easily secured the data as well with Azure Rights Management. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. So that's getting started. What I'd like to do now is start to get a little bit more specific around information worker and bring your own device scenarios, and specifically talk about some of the new conditional access capabilities that we're delivering across Office 365, Azure AD, and Intune when you think about email files flowing onto the device for the first time. So think of the scenario. I've bought a new device. I want to get access to corporate email. And we're starting to make it here very easy for IT to set policy around the health of that device before email will flow. And so we're supporting Office 365 today, and we're supporting on-premises Exchange. We're also expanding this to include now SharePoint Online and OneDrive for business files. So the scenario here is someone's tried to get their corporate email. They got the first email in their box said, you know, get your device compliant. Email wasn't able to flow because their device was not compliant against this policy. As soon as they remediate the device then, and the policy step is re-resolved, the policy conditions are met, and email will flow onto the device. It's a super powerful capability against the cloud. So this is because we're taking the Azure AD authentication libraries into our mobile apps. So this is very different than some of the other solutions here. This isn't about deploying specialist network gear or doing things in your DMZ or specialized SSL VPNs or whatever it is and trying to get your people to remote back to on-premises to take this authentication step. This is something that we can do uniquely against the cloud directory with Office 365, Azure AD, and then Intune delivering the device health check. But what about the next step? How do you think about the mobile application management? Once information's flowing onto the device, as IT, given that some 61% of devices now are dual use, as IT, you want to establish some kind of logical separation between managed apps that you care about, corporate apps that you've loaded onto the device using Intune in this case. These are the apps that you want to keep your employees working in, and we're giving you the capability to do things like managed open in, save as, and some of the cut, copy, paste restrictions that you saw in the keynote this morning. And we're keeping those applications separate from personal applications. This managed app ecosystem is available in Intune today. It works across the Office mobile apps. We also have an app wrapping tool available so that you can bring in your own apps into the ecosystem, and an SDK as well. So this is mobile application management with Intune. And with that, what I'd like to do is bring up Vladimir on the team. No better way to show this than actually to show it across the Intune console and across the different devices. Thank you, Vladimir.
Hello, everyone. I think you would agree with me that one of the main things that employees want on their mobile devices is access to email and documents. And they expect it in an easy and fast way without the need of going through multiple steps or calling the help desk. IT, on the other hand, wants to keep the corporate data protected. Let me show you how EMS and Office 365 can solve both of these problems by expanding on what Brad showed you a bit earlier today. For example, when employees try to add their Office 365 account to their Outlook app on iOS, they expect to get access to all of their email. However, with EMS, you can enable conditional access, which ensures that only the managed and compliant devices are able to access the corporate email. As you'll see in a moment, the access to email will be blocked since this device is not managed by Intune. What the employees need to do next, they need to enroll their device for management. In this case, they need to install the Intune Company Portal app, which I already did, to save some time. The next step is to log in with the same Azure AD identity that Adam set up a bit earlier, and the same one, as you saw in a moment ago, I used to access my email. Enter the password and sign in. Oops, let's try again. It's probably timed out. Also, all right. What happens next is a standard iOS enrollment process, which what happens here is Intune actually deploys and applies a management profile, as well as installs certificates for a secure communication between the Intune and this device. What happens here behind the scenes, there are actually a few things. First, Intune starts to collect some of the basic device information without collecting the personal data, since this is a personal device. Intune also registers this device with Azure AD. So now both Intune and Azure AD know that this device belongs to this specific user. This is helpful for some of the other scenarios when employees try to get access to corporate resources from their personal devices. And finally, Intune starts to deploy device settings like password requirements, resource access profiles such as Wi-Fi and VPN, certificates, and applications. Once a device is enrolled to Intune, employees need to ensure that their device is compliant with corporate policies. This is a great solution since the employees get access to corporate policies, and IT is also happy because the corporate data is protected. So far, what I show you is that you can require your employees to access corporate data from only managed and compliant devices. But how easy is this to configure for the IT? Typically, as Andrew mentioned, this is a challenging project that requires email gateways, servers in the perimeter network, lots of configuration and custom scripts. But with our cloud architecture, we significantly simplified this process. So it's really easy to configure. Let me show you. Not that one, sorry. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the Intune admin console. So there are only two things I need to do. First, I need to define the compliance policy, which basically checks to see if the device is healthy or not. As you can see on the screen, there are multiple settings you can check for to ensure that the device is healthy. And the device can run on Windows, Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. Step two, you need to enable the exchange, the conditional access. As Andrew mentioned, there are multiple options available. In this example, I enabled the conditional access for Exchange Online. All I had to do is choose the Azure AD groups that Adam set up a bit earlier, click Add, and click OK. What this means is that all the users in that group have to enroll their devices and keep the devices compliant to access corporate resources, such as email on documents, for example. I click Save, and that's it. That's all I had to do. Intune is directly integrated with Azure AD and Exchange Online to make this a seamless experience for your IT and your employees. But this is just one part of our email story. Let me switch back to my iPad. Since the device is now managed and compliant, employees have access to their email. All they have to do is re-enter their Azure AD identity again, and the access to email will be granted. What happens here behind the scenes is actually a few things. When the employees enter their credentials, Office 365 checks with Azure AD to see if the device is managed and compliant, which in this case it is. Since the device is compliant, Office 365 actually gives the access to email for this user on this specific device. As you will see in a moment, the access to email will be granted. And employee normally would go ahead and be able to use email as you would expect on a iOS device. Employees can also access all of their internal line of business applications as well as the public apps from the App Store from the Intune company portal. For my next demo, I actually need to install a few of these applications. But to save time, I'm going to switch and continue the demo. So I'm going to switch to 8. All right. As Brad showed you earlier, Intune is uniquely able to manage Outlook and Office mobile apps running on Android and iOS. This provides best-in-class and consistent user experience for email, collaboration, and productivity while keeping the corporate data protected. This is real Office. It doesn't mean that you have to use the third-party applications with confusing user interface or limited functionality. For example here, I'm going to go ahead and launch Outlook. As you can see on the screen, actually you cannot see on the screen, but I have to enter PIN because the IT requires me to do so because this is a managed device. In this case, I have an email from my colleague that has some useful information, and I would like to copy it. If I try to paste it into my Notes app, for example, it doesn't work, similar to how it didn't work for Brad earlier today. As you can see, the paste option is not available. However, if I try to paste it into the managed into the Microsoft Word app, it works since this is a managed app. This provides, again, a consistent user experience for your employees using real Office while keeping the corporate data protected. Let's take a look at another common scenario with Outlook. For example, you get an email from your colleague again with an attachment. If you try to open this attachment, you can only open it with applications that are also managed by Intune. Other personal apps do not have access to it. Let's go ahead and try to open it in Excel and make a few changes here. Okay. Let's go ahead and try to save this to the Dropbox, which in this case is a personal cloud storage account. As you can see here, the action is not allowed because IT doesn't want the corporate data to be stored in personal storage accounts. Employees need to use OneDrive for Business since it is approved by IT. And as you can see, it works. This is just another way how EMS helps to keep the corporate data protected. However, we do know that there's still a chance that the confidential files might end up in the wrong hands, by accident or on purpose. There have been a lot of breaches in the past few months. For example, here, I'm going to go ahead and check out another email from a colleague that has an email attachment attached to it. This file is actually protected with Azure Rights Management. What this means is that the file is encrypted, and only this specific employee can access the file. If I try to open it, Azure Rights Management checks with Azure AD to see if this person has access to email or not. As you can see, he does, but only can view the file. He cannot edit or do other things with the file. Azure Rights Management provides a granular levels of access to protected files. So not only you can encrypt it, you can decide what the recipient can do with the file itself. Since this is a demo, let's accidentally forward this email to another person outside of our organization. Okay. The email is sent. Let's see the experience of a person who received this email on an Android device. Can I switch to Android? Enter my super secret password. Okay. All right, go ahead and open my email. As you can see, I just got this email from Chris. And as you can see, I can view the email. However, if I try to open it, I will be blocked since this person doesn't have access to the email. Again, Azure Rights Management integrates with Azure AD to ensure only that the people who have access to files can actually access them. What I showed you today so far is a classic bring your own or choose your own device scenario. With EMS, your employees can have a consistent user experience accessing corporate files and documents. They can also have the best-in-class experiences with email and collaboration while keeping the corporate data protected. And your IT can have a peace of mind knowing the corporate data is protected with EMS that provides the most comprehensive protection across four layers. Application, device, data, identity, application, device, application, and data. If you want to learn more on how EMS can also provide a similar experience on Android, come check out my session on Intune and System Center Configuration Manager today at 3:15. Thank you. Back to you, Andrew.
Thanks. Thank you, Vlad. Hopefully there you saw some very practical steps that you can take and take the benefit of cloud services against the Azure cloud with Azure AD, all through cloud consoles there that you see, to protect email flowing onto devices and protect information in the context of apps and at the level of data. What I'd like to do now is actually start to generalize beyond just information worker scenarios and email and collaboration with things like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and talk about how you might manage and gate access to all applications. As we've noted with Azure AD, we've pre-integrated single sign-on to over 2,400 SaaS apps now. And many of those apps, if they're standards-based, have deep federation with the platform. So we can also do things like inbound user provisioning, deprovisioning, et cetera. We're also bringing line of business applications to this cloud control plane. We're doing that because many customers asked us for it. Once they started using the SaaS applications, they were like, how can I bring my own applications to this cloud control plane and get control over them in a similar way? And then finally, what do you do about those legacy Windows applications that I noted earlier, which are not going to be rewritten with a mobile front end and a native cloud back end? You simply want to load those into a session host, say, and you want to be able to remote into them. And we have RDP clients that exist across iOS, Android, Windows, Mac OS X. And so with that, I'd like to bring up Thomas Willingham on the team. He's going to take you through a quick tour of some of these application access scenarios. Thank you, Thomas.
Thanks, Andrew. So we've walked through some scenarios, and the next thing that we want to talk about is enabling the applications your users need to get productive. The first solution that we'll talk about is Azure Active Directory. Azure Active Directory enables access to SaaS and web-based applications. MyApps is the access portal clients use to access these applications. If you go into applications associated with your Active Directory structure, and you'll notice I'm in the Azure Management Portal that we've seen before. There's no new learning here. So I bring up the list of applications. These are applications that have already been added for your environment. To add an application is very straightforward. There's three types of applications that can be added. The first application is a custom application that you're developing and leveraging the APIs to integrate with Azure AD to leverage the functionality and capabilities such as secure sign-on. The second brings up a list of Azure SaaS applications or of SaaS applications that you can select. These are pre-integrated into the environment and have deep integration into Azure AD and leverage capabilities such as user provisioning using federation. Finally, you have the ability to publish an internal line of business app, web application, and make that external available external, and again, integrate this with Azure. For this example, let's go ahead and add an application from the gallery. And you'll see, as was mentioned in the keynote, there's over 2,400 applications currently available. These applications are pre-integrated, and it's very straightforward to access some of the capabilities and access single sign-on. If you do not see your application in the list, you can go into custom and create the application yourself. As I mentioned, these applications have a deep integration. Many of these have a deep integration with Azure AD and enable functionality like user provisioning using federation. So once the application is added, there are three steps. You saw this page during the keynote. The first step is to enable single sign-on with Azure AD. Let's go a little deeper into this. So how do you want your users to access this? The first enables federation so their users, your users, can use their accounts in Azure AD to access this SaaS application. The next is the specific sign-in URL specific to your domain. And then finally, you download the certificate that gets uploaded to the SaaS application you're configuring. You follow the steps. You confirm, yes, I have followed the steps, and you continue. You see it walked you through that wizard. It's very straightforward. We have our additional steps. The second, enable automatic user provisioning to Salesforce. I add my admin credentials and a token. And this enables any changes made to accounts in Azure AD are propagated to Salesforce using federation. Then finally, third step, assign users and groups to ensure that they have access to this application. Now, you may have a web application on premises that you're not ready to migrate to the cloud yet. Say a SharePoint farm that hosts digital assets or code-based assets. We have you covered. Add, and now we select a third option that enables you to publish internal web applications and make those available externally. The next thing we need to do is associate a name that will be displayed in my apps, which is the Access Portal. Now, the internal URL is the URL that you would use internally to access this application. Select an authentication method and then continue. Again, we'll see that quick start page that overviews the steps that need to be performed, and we can get going. The first step, enable application proxy on your active in your directory, only needs to be configured once and has already been done for this tenant. The second step, download the application proxy connector. You download this, you install this on your local network, and this enables you to publish those applications internally and make those available through Azure Active Directory. Finally, assign users to the application, so those users will now have, or groups, will now have access to these applications. Now, you may have Mac users in your environment. You want to ensure that all users can be equally productive in your environment. Using My Apps, the Access Portal, we can ensure that all your users across all platforms have access to these applications. So I'll log in. Again, you'll see we're using the common set of credentials, corporate credentials. I'll sign in. That just adds a little bit of excitement. Okay, barring the little bit of excitement, now you'll see that I'll have access to my Access portal. Notice all the applications that are published and available to me are displayed here in a single workspace. I can click on an application, and I'm redirected directly to the application using single sign-on. Let's investigate this UI a little bit more. Notice there's groups, approvals, and profile. Andrew mentioned earlier, he talked about self-service, the ability for a user or worker to manage their account, have a bit of management flexibility. Groups. I can add myself to a group, and any applications associated to that group are now associated to me. I can create a group. So anybody who joins that group, I can approve or deny that request. And then finally, profile. In the profile area, I can change or reset my password. Let's think about this for a minute. Group, the ability to manage my groups, the ability to approve or deny group access, and then finally, the ability to manage my password. Think of the cost savings here. Now users will no longer have to reach out to the help desk. They can perform this functionality themselves, again, using the power of Azure. Now the next question is, how do I enable my users to have access to my Windows-based applications? The next solution I'll talk about is Azure Remote App. Azure Remote App enables enterprises to give access to legacy or Windows-based applications to the users in their environment, whether they're mobile and across platform. Again, I've logged in using my corporate credentials, and I'm on a Mac. Maybe I am a graphic designer or a lawyer, I'm using a Mac. And in my work environment, we use Project. So I'll go ahead and launch Project. And while this is launching, let's step back a minute and think about what's happening on the back end. This application is actually running in Azure. This is a Windows-based application. As more users connect to the service, additional servers are spun up. As users log out, servers are shut down. There's that elastic nature of Azure that, as Andrew had mentioned, there's that flexible architecture. You don't have to do anything. This just works. One of our customers was using this, and they had an outage while they were using this, and they mentioned, I didn't have to worry about ensuring my users had access to these applications at all. It just worked. So notice I have access to Project. I can use Project just as I would. Brad, in his keynote, used Dynamics on an iPad, Windows-based application. He could have just as easily used any other type of mobile device to access that application. Again, no new dev needed to be done to ensure that access. These files and resources are held either in the cloud or on-premises. That's configurable. So even if this device, whether it's a laptop, mobile device, tablet, if it gets lost, no data is lost or compromised. Now, I've talked about Azure Active Directory, and I've talked about Azure Remote App. Both of these capabilities are available on iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows. Amazing resources there. So I've talked about and I've shown you Azure Active Directory. I've shown you Azure Remote App. All of this is powered using Azure and is available today. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. Thank you, Thomas. So we've done getting started. We've covered BYO, email, and collaboration scenarios. And Thomas has now generalized that for us to all the apps in your environment, including remote apps delivered from the Azure cloud. What I'd like to do now is drill a little bit deeper into some of the security capabilities that we're making available. And as you probably note, this idea of the identity control plane is turning out to be very useful from a security point of view. When you run an intelligent cloud at the scale that we do, like I said, Azure AD, almost 5 million organizations in the directory, 450 million user accounts, 1 to 2 billion auths a day, you get to take all of this data, apply machine learning to that data, and spot things that are anomalous. It's amazing. When you've got a data set that large, irregular activity often sticks out like a sore thumb. And we can bring that information to you against your Azure tenant. Secondly, we're combining this with very easy to set up basic capabilities. They're going to help protect your employees' credentials. Remember that earlier statistic. For these cyber attacks, 75% of them are exploiting weak credentials. They're coming in on that vector. So it's super important control point here. We've shown you conditional access today, and also multi-factor authentication, the ability to require a second factor to make sure that that person is who they say they are on that mobile device. And finally, we've brought this down now on premises. So if you think about the announcements in the keynote today, we've taken some of these cloud capabilities, brought them down on premise, and we're using techniques like user behavioral analysis that you can put to work in your environment, and we can then display information about potential advanced persistent threats on an easy to consume and simple, straightforward attack timeline. Many of the customers that the team has visited have got many security people. They're using many sophisticated tools, and they've got a huge investment in monitoring, sifting through log files, outputs from security information and event management tools, et cetera, and yet they're still not finding these threats. That's why we've invested in Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics. It's in public preview today. You can go download the preview. It's available on the website broadly. What it does is when you set it up in your environment, you essentially set up port mirroring for your Active Directory. And it starts to build an organizational graph. It builds an entity graph of everything that's happening in your environment. And it learns. It learns what's normal in your environment. You don't have to set up sort of profile levels or scores or risk weightings or anything like that. It just learns. And then it combines the user behavioral analytics against that data set with information on known attacks, so things like pass the hash, pass the ticket. And it also takes inputs from existing security information and event management solutions if you have them. So it's very identity-centric today, but it's pulling in other information as well. And then it outputs it via a feed that looks very much like a social networking feed. Obviously, it's a pretty scary social networking feed. You probably wouldn't want that to be your social networking feed, but it's giving you that information in an easy-to-consume way, and so the bad things pop out. It's reducing the false positives, it's reducing the noise, and you can clearly see what's going on against your on-premises Active Directory. And so with that, I'd like to bring back up Adam Bresson. He's going to take you through a demonstration of some of these more advanced security capabilities. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Andrew. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of these advanced security scenarios that you can enable with Enterprise Mobility Suite services. As Andrew mentioned, there's a massive scope and scale of Azure AD. We have over 1 to 2 billion logins a day. We have about 5 million organizations and about 450 million users. And we put that all together with our Azure machine learning to look at successful and unsuccessful logins and other behavior for identity. You can leverage that with Azure Active Directory. We also put together feeds from Microsoft DCU. You heard about it today in the keynote. And that's scanning about 70 million hosts in just the month of March. We bring all of that to bear for you to monitor security incidents. You saw some of the security reports earlier in Brad's keynote today. Let's go ahead and drill down on a few of them right now. He showed you sign-ins from multiple geographies. He also showed you some new reports that will be coming out in the next couple weeks. We're going to go ahead and look at sign-ins from possibly infected devices. And we're finding this information by going out and proactively scanning hosts that may have potential attacks, like Conficker or Bamitol or something like that, directly from this feed. And we bring it to bear for you with Azure AD. You can see that if I find a user who might have a particular piece of malware on their device, such as Bamitol, I can take action right from here. I can go ahead and manage multi-factor authentication in the bottom, turn it on, so that extra layer of security for authentication blocks access to that account from that potentially infected device. I can also reset their password, immediately cutting off their access to the applications and the other services from the Enterprise Mobility Suite. Let's go ahead and take a look at an additional scenario. We debuted a new feature that allows you to further secure social applications like Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook as well. So we're going to go ahead, and as Thomas showed you before, we can publish different versions of Twitter, such as the corporate account. So a common occurrence with social applications is you might have a department, like the social media group, for example, and everyone within that group knows that password. Maybe they've even written it down. If that's so, you can take away their knowledge of the username and password, but still let them be productive with Azure AD. Let me show you an example of our new feature, Password Rollover. I can go ahead and click a group, assign them here. I can turn on group access to the application. And I can configure password rollover. And what password rollover allows you to do is only the administrator has control over the username and password. It lets we communicate a strong 16-character password, auto-provision it to the application. It's done automatically. And you can set the duration of which you're resetting that password with password rollover. So if you're very paranoid, you can do it every week. You also have longer durations as well. So think about that. With just a setting that only Azure AD offers, we can add password rollover, a complex password, to your social applications. In addition, we have access rules for applications. So another advanced security scenario is the ability for you to set specific access rules to that application using multi-factor authentication. And multi-factor authentication sends a one-time password via email, SMS, or phone, and allows you to have a second factor of authentication in the application. It's really easy to turn it on with Azure AD for applications. I simply designate an access rule. I can go ahead and say certain groups are required to use multi-factor authentication. So think about if I have sensitive or secure applications, I want to turn on that extra layer of security just for HR or just for legal or designers. I can turn that on. I can have group exceptions. And in the bottom, you can see I can block access when not at work or not require that multi-factor authentication when they are at work. The last advanced security scenario I want to show you is our new, recently today in public preview announced Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics. With Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics, you can protect on-premise identity. And as Andrew mentioned, it's some of the same techniques that you see already today in Azure AD. Things like machine learning, things like looking at pass the hash or pass the ticket request as well. Brad highlighted some of them this morning in his keynote. I'm going to go ahead and take a look at an additional really cool security feature that you could take advantage of. Let me describe it to you. The feature is called a honey token. And what a honey token is think of what antivirus companies do. They set up a honey pot, they bring in malware, they analyze that malware, and then they get to create their virus signatures off of that. We also do that with the Microsoft DCU. You can take that same knowledge that we're using for antivirus and malware companies, you can take that same knowledge and actually watch for security incidents within your network. So think about this. We have our honey token is a simulated federated token like SAML. You can lure in attackers, some of which are sitting for up to 8 months in your network, get them to try to use that federated token, say a SAML token or WS Fed. Once they use it, it will trigger an alert in the social feed, and they could right away, you could take actions to remediate that. You could block their access from a particular host. And Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics does that for you today. So I've shown you 4 advanced scenarios here for security. We saw the opportunity to use that massive scale of Azure Active Directory, other data, including machine learning, to protect authentications to Azure Active Directory. We also looked at advanced security scenarios for applications by turning on multi-factor authentication and setting up password rollover. And finally, we almost took a look at Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics and some of our amazing features around that. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. And don't worry, we have deep dive sessions at the show with the team from Israel who's here in force doing deep dive sessions around Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics. It looks like we maybe have a bunch of people hammering on our demo environment in the background there. So that's Advanced Threat Analytics and some of the advanced security capabilities that you can bring to bear across cloud and on-premises. With that, let's switch gears here a little bit. We made Enterprise Mobility Suite available about a year ago. It was on price list May 1st last year. And since then, we've seen a number of big brand name customers come on and adopt the solution. Companies like Clif Bars, Subaru, Whole Foods, and Godiva. With Godiva now, I'd like to run a quick video to show you how that company is adopting the solution and how they're using it.
Godiva's commitment to excellence can be traced to our Belgium heritage. In fact, everything about Godiva today embodies the same careful attention to detail that was essential to our founder, Joseph Drops, more than 8 decades ago.
At Godiva, we never stop thinking about how to deliver the ultimate chocolate experience for every single one of our customers.
Last year, Americans spent an estimated $20 billion on chocolate. To maintain our growth trajectory in a large global industry with intense competition, we have to innovate. Just as Godiva chefs across the world constantly innovate to keep ahead of global trends, we need to stay on the cutting edge of technology. We need an integrated IT environment that enables us to run more efficiently and react to new business opportunities as they arise.
Collaboration and mobility are now critical levers for employee productivity. We see Microsoft's Enterprise Mobility solution as a core component of our technology portfolio, which already includes cloud solutions like Office 365 and Azure. Microsoft leveraged the synergy of user identity, mobile device management, and data protection tools to create a flexible, affordable, enterprise-grade platform. With Microsoft's Enterprise Mobility Suite, we have a great opportunity to use the latest technology to deliver the best services to our internal team.
And when our team has the information they need, when and where they need it, it makes it that much easier for us to delight our customers at every touch point. And at Godiva, that's what we're all about.
Excellent. And so with that, I'd like to now start to round up and recap some of the things that have been happening at Ignite. I know many of you are hands-on with the services and with the products, working with them every single day. And so I wanted to spend some time looking at product delivery, directions, roadmap. Microsoft Enterprise Mobility Suite, like I said, that we made available a year ago this week, contains Intune, Azure Active Directory Premium, and Azure Rights Management brought together. We also shipped last December Microsoft Azure Remote App that lets you bring these remote applications to the Azure cloud, Windows applications to the Azure cloud, and then remote into them from our RDP clients across platforms. With these cloud services, we're shipping at a very frequent cadence now. In many cases, we're adding tens of new features every single month, and it's one of the advantages of the cloud. No need to update infrastructure, deploy new servers. The features are just being added into the environments, and you're getting to take advantage of them very quickly. I do want to spend time on some of the on-premises announcements at the show as well, specifically Configuration Manager. This is a very important year for Configuration Manager with Windows 10 coming. Today, we're announcing a technical preview for System Center Configuration Manager for managing Windows 10, and we expect to make that generally available in Q4 of this calendar year. Also in the next week or so, we will be delivering service packs for existing Configuration Manager 2012 customers. So if you're running Configuration Manager 2012, 2012 SP1, 2012 R2, we're delivering service packs, which mean you'll be able to manage Windows 10 with all of your existing Configuration Manager features. So that's Configuration Manager. And then finally here, Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics, available in preview today. You can go get that today. And we expect to make that generally available in Q3. I'd also like to recap quickly some of the cloud service announcements at the show. We're on such a rapid cadence with the cloud features, it's often tough to keep up. I do encourage you to track the individual product blogs, the Intune team blog, the Azure AD team blog, where we do our monthly updates on new features. At this show, as Brad showed, we have conditional access and mobile application management support for the Outlook app. That will be coming later this quarter. In Q3, we'll ship the same for Skype for Business. On the Azure AD side, we've made generally available today the Cloud App Discovery Tool, which, as the name suggests, lets you discover cloud applications and SaaS in your environment. We also have a public preview of privileged identity management, which allows you to manage privileged accounts and do that all from within the Azure console. And then on Azure Rights Management, of course, we have shipped a public preview today of document tracking. So these are all new cloud capabilities that are coming today, and they speak to the rapid cadence that we're on. In summary today, we spent a lot of time talking about protecting at all of these different layers, four different layers. And it's begun with the directory. It's core to everything that we're doing against the cloud, and that's Microsoft Azure Active Directory Premium. Intune delivers the mobile device management and the mobile application management. And then finally, Microsoft Azure Rights Management delivers the content policies, it delivers the encryption and permissions at the level of the file itself, and those permissions persist as that file travels from person to person and device to device. Together, these make up the Enterprise Mobility Suite from Microsoft. Now, there's a few more things that I want to remind you of just for this show. First of all, we have the Microsoft Mobility Quest. This is going on right now. You can access it online, or you can go visit the Enterprise Mobility Suite booth. That's part of the Microsoft presence in the exhibition hall, in the expo hall. That allows you to get hands-on with the solutions. You can complete some challenges, and you'll be entered to win prizes. Things like the Microsoft Band and also Surface Pro 3s. So that's going on right now. Some of you actually may have a card for that on your chair. All you need to do is go get online and get running with that one. And then finally, I do encourage you to complete your session evaluation for this this particular session, our foundation session across all of Enterprise Mobility Suite. With that, I'd like to thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. Please take advantage of the fact that you're here with 23,000 of your peers. Learn from them, not just from the sessions, in terms of what's happening in this space. And if you need to figure out more information about enterprise mobility from Microsoft, please go to microsoft.com/EMS. With that, thank you very much.